Hello, everyone. Today is Saturday, March 21st, 2026. We continue on talking about five lectures on Buddhism. This time, we put the emphasis on the title of Pali Deism in the West. So, polytheism in the West means belief in multiple gods, usually connected to nature, society, fate, and human activities. It was the original religious form of Europe and the Mediterranean before Christianity. And today it survives through revivals, folk practice, and cultural memory. So first of all, it is about ancient Western polytheistic system, classical and pre-Christian. We see the picture here, the first picture. Greek and Roman polytheism. So we have many names here. I probably don't exactly know how to say the name correctly. First, you could see Zeus's, Poseidon, Athena, Ares, Artemis, Emmaus, and so on. And even you see some names are quite familiar, which is Apollo, and the last one, Aphrodite. So you could see that there are many, many gods, and each god has their own function. The Masonry in Nimes, France. It's an ancient Roman temple. Then we come to another one. You see Olympian gods and heroes. Again, here we have more of the figures in the first one. The different names. Now, actually, here, say for example, Zeus and Jupiter, just give an example, and Poseidon and Neptune. How come these three names? Actually, it comes like this. Now, here we have the 12 Olympians. Some of them you're probably familiar with their names, right? Say, so they are gods and they govern specific functions. Say, for example, Zeus, Jupiter. Now, first of all, Zeus is the sky and is the authority. You could say it's a king of God. Yet, Zeus, and Greek tradition, it's the supreme god in ancient Greek religion. So that is the Greek tradition. And its role is the king of God, ruler of the sky and thunder, and he is often depicted holding a thunderbolt, representing both power and divine judgments. Zeus was believed to oversee justice among both gods and humans, while Jupiter is the Roman equivalent of Zeus. It's also the supreme god, but it is of the Roman state. And its function is to protect the protector of Rome, law, oaths, and authority. Then we see here again two names, Athena and Minerva. Minerva. Athena is Greek god, which represents wisdom, while Minerva, a Roman god, a goddess of wisdom, strategy, and skilled action. Embody clarity, intelligence, and discipline, strength rather than raw power. So one is the Greek god, the other one is the Roman god, goddess. Then we have Apollo. Apollo, this name here, probably you are most familiar with. That is when the modern time in America we use it to name the rocket that flew through the sky. Now, Apollo represents sun and prophecy, and Apollo is the Greek god of light, music, prophecy, and healing, embodying clarity, harmony, and refined intelligence. And we have Artemis. It's the Greek goddess of the wilderness, the moon, and the sun, embodying independence and protection and the untamed purity of nature. So you see, these gods, they all have their functions. And who will their worship involve temples, animal sacrifice, festivals, and also household shrines. And as we see, these gods were not absolute creators, but powerful beings within cosmic order. So you could say that their power, is bigger than gods. And how they will worship in temples, and using animal to sacrifice, and also in festival and in their household shrines. Then we come to the Celtic polytheism. Now this here represent the Druids. Druids were the priestly and intellectual class of ancient Celtic society, devoted to nature, ritual, wisdom, and the unseen spiritual world. So you could say that the Druids is not the name of one person. It is the a few people, and that is their functions. Here you can see another picture. It's the Celtic goddess. Her name is Brigid. Sometimes Brigid pronounced with the D at the end or the T at the end. So Brigid is a Celtic goddess of fire, inspiration. See, you see the picture, fire, inspiration, healing, and craft, symbolizing the creative and nurturing energies that sustain life and culture. This picture depicts actually the same goddess. Again, it's strong nature orientation. So the deities, now I'm using this word deities, tied to rivers, forests, seasons. Say, for example, we have Bridget, healing and poetry, Lou, with skill and light. No fixed scriptures. They don't have a fixed or written scriptures, but they are going down by oral and local and fluid. Now, last talk, Keith was asking about this word deity and what is the difference here? Actually, sometimes they were interchangeable use with the word spirit or even with the word so-called. One is deity, the other one is heavenly beings. Now, deities referring to an entity that has more power, while spirit, it could be a commoners, anybody that has that name after died. It's a, they're flying around, and you could say that that's spirit. And then another word is the word ghost. Then ghost, definitely referring to a human being, or even animals after they die, and they're still around, so it's called the ghost. Ghost could be animal too. Now we come to another one, Norse, Germanic polytheism. We have different names here, we have different deities or different gods here. Thor, maybe you're familiar with it. Thor, with the a big hammer that he's holding. And now these movies, Thor, it's quite famous, so people know about it. And we have Freya, Loki, Odin. So Thor is one of the most popular gods in Norse mythology. His role is the god of thunder, its strength and protection. And the weapon is holding on his hand and on top of his shoulder is the hammer. And its function is defender of gods and humans against chaos. And Thor has the key quality of courage and direct actions and protection of order and community. It's simple, it's straightforward, strength. So Thor represents power used to protect, not to dominate. Now we see the three figures here. The one to the left, then right away that's Thor. And one is Thor, the other one is Odin, and another one is Loki. Now we have known or we have introduced about Thor. Now let's see what is Odin is doing. Odin is the chief god of the Norse pantheon, and his role is god of wisdom, knowledge, world, and magic. Interesting enough is that its symbols is one eye, and also sometimes the picture will show it has a ravens on it and spear. So let's see if we see any ravens in here. The last picture of Odin, you could see that there's a raven on his shoulder. So this is Odin. So its key quality is that seeker of deep knowledge and willingness to sacrifice for insight, and master of runes, mystical knowledge. Odin represents the quest for wisdom, even at great cost. So that is, we know a little bit about him. Then another figure or another deity, or you could just say another god, is Loki. Loki is a complex and ambiguous figure, which is to the right. So its role is tricksters and shifters. It changes something, and also disruptor. And its nature is neither fully good nor evil. You can see a trace is clever, unpredictable, and transformative. So its key qualities is break rules and structures. So almost like someone who like to destroy and very much revengeful. And it causes both problem and solutions. You could say it represents change and instability. So Loki embodies the force that disturbs order, so transformation can happen. Then we have another one called Freya. Freya, the goddess of love, beauty, and spiritual power. Freya is one of the most important goddesses. Its role is called the goddess of love, beauty, fertility, and magic. Its symbols it casts, falcon cloak, and necklace. Its function is what? Is receive half of the fallen warriors. It's like Odin. So its key qualities are love and attraction, spiritual power and magic, independence and strength. Freya represents both tenderness and deep mystical power. Then we have this picture of the so-called here, it's called a Scandinavian gathering led by a Gothi. Gothi is a law keeper overseeing religious rituals. Okay, this is a very interesting pictures. The one in the middle referring to the priest who performing the rituals, and to his left, which is to our right, is a nude pig figure. And what is it doing here? It is the king of Domalde. It is the depicting the picture depicting the sacrifice of King Domald at the temple of Uppsala to please God after years of famine. It's very interesting that at that time, probably many years of famine that happened. So the king had to sacrifice himself, and through this picture that depicts the event that happens. And at that time already, if the country has to go through so many hardship of famine of so many years, then somehow the king had to sacrifice himself. Very colorful pictures, very moving atmosphere that the picture, the painting is depicting. So here, these gods reflect harsh environment. Odin, referring to wisdom, sacrifice, Thor, referring to protection, and Freya, referring to fertility. So fate ultimately overrides gods. Even time when gods, this god has to perish. So this is a non-eternal pantheon, very untheistic by later standards.